glasses.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub. This is
that's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger Mass, 5:06 in the evening, 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England. On NBC Sports Boston, that's the TV side, catch us 24-7 on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Stream pops right up, you also get all the great replays, so if you miss us, you can catch us back that night or the next morning. And everyone's all caught up and all happy. We've got Red Sox and Patriots on the board today. They did nothing at the trade deadline. They win last night in Buffalo, but we're really not talking about that useless piece of crap game. But just the standing of the team through eight games, I don't love it. I don't love it. 6-2 is 6-2. You're in good shape for the division and home playoff games and things like that. But I think Bedard has pointed this out the last couple of weeks. Usually you get to this point of season, you've gotten over that September sort of slow start, which they always get into. Then they have sort of a turning point game, and then it's off to the races. And you're really sort of hitting your stride when you hit this time of year. I do not feel they're hitting stride on either side of the ball. I still feel it's sort of fits and starts and playing down to competition and playing like crap on the road. And a bunch of guys I still don't like. I still don't like Cordell Patterson. And playing him at running back is just patently dumb. I don't get it. When you have another running back on the roster and this Kenyon Barner kid, just give him the ball. Like, what are you doing? But I don't like Patterson as a player. I don't like Josh Gordon as a player. They're not true Patriots. What the hell's going on with that? The defense, how can you possibly tell last night playing that high school offense and that golfer at quarterback? Like, the whole thing.
I mean, that Bills offense is as bad as I've seen.
It's a high school offense.
I mean, his tickets should have been 50% off in Buffalo with that offense. Seriously, that was pathetic. That was embarrassing. That's an NFL product, that team, that offense? That was a joke.
And the Josh Gordon thing, I think all the off-field stuff was accurate, and I think for some reason Bill at the end did not bench him. But he was late, and I think all that stuff happened. I just think Bill held back from punishing him. Why? So now we got key guys showing up late and Bill letting it go. And like, I just don't. I mean, again.
And don't forget the fact that Gronk looks like a shell of himself and has all season,
there's
too.
There's that. Gronk totally does not look like himself. There's no question about that. Good one, Murray.
Like, that's a huge concern for me. And how long is Marcus Cannon going to be out? Because Lee Adrian Waddle. Say what you will about the Bills. The offense is obviously terrible, but their front seven is pretty good, and he was a turnstile all last night. And I hate to think that he's going to end up being their right tackle for the rest of the season.
So I don't love the way they're looking or how it feels or the guys they have on their team. I don't know. That doesn't mean you suck and doesn't mean you're going to be 9-7. No, I'll see you in the AFC title game. But I don't know.
Do they feel like their usual wagon
at this point
in the season?
That usual thing that, you know, they're about to, you know, release the hounds and go on this run. I don't feel it.
I mean, what if Baltimore comes in here in the divisional round?
I give them a sniff. I mean, as things currently stand right now, I would give Baltimore a chance in that game.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure even the divisional round's a slam dunk anymore. With the Patriots, what's the best game they've played this year?
Miami or Kansas City? Kansas City, then.
No, Kansas City.
43-40-ish. Okay, so that's the best game they played, giving up 40 points to the Chiefs.
What was opening night again?
Houston.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, then they went to Jacksonville and got their asses kicked. Then they went to Detroit and got their asses kicked. They beat Miami, yay, with Ryan Tannehill at freaking quarterback.
In Foxborough.
Boy, there's something to hang your hat on.
Signature win.
Okay, then they get the Colts 38-24. That overall was pretty good. That was the night Edelman came back, I think, right? That overall was pretty good, except that they let the Colts back in the game late. So, I don't know. Then they give up 40 to the Chiefs. Against the Bears, they gave up 31. And in this game, they scored 25 against a high school team. They haven't had a clean game really being down all year long.
So sort of what I'm saying.
So, I mean, am I wrong to say that?
No, you're not wrong to say that. So that's how I feel about the team right now.
I know. They all want Maz to opt out. It's fine. I get it. I'm the devil. I understand. I'm a rotten person.
What's up to four people now.
What's the opt-out number? Four? There you go.
Okay. So look.
And Sarge is up to two.
If Sarge doesn't overtake me by the end of this, I'm going to be pissed.
We're working on it.
Meanwhile, you all want David Price to stay. God, think of that. Think of that. All right, so all that on the board. We'll take your phones the rest of the way. And we had all sorts of Red Sox stuff that we got to yesterday. You can weigh in on that because we didn't take many calls yesterday. So if you want to weigh in on anything from yesterday or the series, you're still welcome. Alex in the truck. Go ahead. What do you got for us on the Sox?
What's going on, guys? get rid of all the pitching. Price can go. You got Sale at 13 mil next year. He can go the year after that with a shoulder. I believe in the bionic arm on Eovaldi. Tommy John is super real. But you got to bet Bogarts, Bradley. Those guys are at least young and will give you time. They'll give you results for what you pay them. It's why the Yankees struggle. They break the number one rule in investing, which is past performance doesn't indicate future results. Pay the younger guys, let them go. And the other last thing is, if J.D. Martinez puts up MVP numbers again, he's going to opt out of his contract because all the crap that went on when they signed him in the first place.
Oh, no question.
No way he keeps him.
Yeah, he thinks he got underpaid this time. He wants.
I mean, that's another one.
Okay, so that was a 2-year deal, right?
Right. He could opt out after next year as well.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, so putting that aside, the pitching thing, you know, I think there's some merit to in terms of you really invest in your lineup because that's more consistent year to year. It is. Pitching, Maz, it's just all over the place. You know, never mind relievers who you really can't predict. But it's now it's the starters, too. It's like 1 year on, 1 year off, and you can't tell when it's going to be and what's what. Like, there's no one on the planet who told me the key guys for you in this World Series championship were going to be David Price, Nathan Eovaldi, and Joe Kelly. Those were your three best pitchers. How many of you clowns out there? Or is it you? Oh, Felger, man, suck it. You were wrong. Yeah, so you were right. So a month ago, you had Price, Eovaldi, and Kelly leading the staff. That was you? You had that?
Not even Carrabas had that.
Who had that? Who
had
that?
Price.
Huh?
I had Price.
Well, I said he was going to win one, too, but no, but it was that triumvirate. I mean, you want to watch your three best pitchers? Am I wrong to say this?
No, they were your three best.
Your three. So who had out? Who you geniuses out there had this? You were going to win a world championship because of Price, Eovaldi, and Machine Gun Joe Kelly, who most of you wanted off the roster to begin the playoffs. Because those are who can predict that. So it's sort of like invest in your lineup players who are more consistent year to year. And what I would do is just develop a bunch of guys that throw 100 in the system and bring them up year, like the Cardinals used to. Just year to year, throw in some kid who throws 100 and then plug in the next guy the next year and do it cheaply because you can't predict the stuff anyway.
Like, so listen, that's the way to do it. But again, they're sort of past that now, aren't they?
They are. They are past that.
I mean, they missed the window on that. Like now they're kind of stuck. And this is really, this is the most alarming part of the whole thing. They don't have cheap options coming through the system. So now what? They got to go out and buy these guys one way or another. And I don't know, like I just use Bogarts as an example because he's up the soonest. He's up at the end of next year. Are you going to get Bogarts more than $20 million a year?
I might. I don't know.
I'm not sure I do.
He had a real sweet postseason performance, huh? Especially in the World Series.
So that's another one.
I think I'm good.
I mean, like, he didn't play great in the playoffs.
Can we have
Betts didn't play great in the playoffs.
I was going to say, can we have a real conversation about Mookie Betts? I mean, are we going to account for his postseason performance overall? Is he going to be worth that massive amount of money?
I just think that those guys could end up getting big dough.
Mookie Betts might be the highest paid player in the game if he keeps it up.
I mean, he's going to get a ton of money. Are you going to give it to him? And does he even want it here? Because they've tried to sign him and he said no. So what happens there? Like, at least I can look at Betts and say, all right, fine, you don't have Boris, but he doesn't want to sign. They've tried. So, like, I'm not sure he wants to stay. I'm not sure I want Sale because of the shoulder and the durability issues. Price, we know, who knows? If A, he wants to stay, and B, do you want him to stay? Like, there's a million of them. Yeah. I'm telling you. Betts. This thing is brittle. It's brittle.
Folks, we gave you a day. What more do you expect?
Betts in the postseason.
We gave you a day to enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed it.
It was really only 3 hours.
It was about 3.5 hours.
Because we spent a full hour on game three.
But that, even those 3.5 hours are deceiving because Jimmy's right. We did spend an hour of the 3.5 ripping them for game three.
But it was good content.
The parade's tomorrow.
So I hope you enjoyed your 2.5 hours of positivity and congratulations on the Red Sox. But now it's back to work. It's back to Felger and Maz. As Maz told you, this thing is over.
And the baseball reporter is going through Friday.
No, they're in good shape. I just think they have some choices. You are obviously pointing a darker picture than I am. I just think...
No.
I think Kelly and Eovaldi are really interesting cases.
They are.
You want to keep them. They fill great roles this year. They project. The stuff is there. The arms are there. And what valuable guys they can be for the modern game. In different roles, in different settings, not just starters, not just relievers, that flexibility, the heart that they showed, especially Eovaldi, you want those guys. You're going to have to pay them. And if you pay them, is there money left over for the core guys that you want? Like, those are tough calls. Never mind David Price, who you now want. Ha! Isn't that something? We'll get right back to you right after this.
Ha!
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Saving all my postseason wins for the Red Sox. I know good things are going to happen to me in October, and that just hasn't been the case thus far.
I know how good he is. I trust the guy.
This isn't about me. You know, I understand the narratives. I get that. You know, I deserve those narratives, but this is bigger than David Price. This isn't about me. This is about the Boston Red Sox.
And a swing and a miss. It's his ninth strikeout for David Price.
Does pitching your team to the World Series sound like enough?
Not yet, no. Not for me. You know, not for the other guys in the clubhouse. You know, we got four more wins. That was very, very special. Absolutely, but we want more.
Strikes out on three pitches.
Pumped for myself, pumped for all my teammates and coaches. For us to be two wins away and up 2-0 right now in the World Series, that's a good feeling.
You said in Game 4 of the ALCS, warming up in the bullpen, you found something. Since then, two brilliant performances. What has changed?
I have.
Struck him out. Second time Machado has struck him out. 0-2, back to Price. What a night. It's all David Price in Game 5.
This is why I came to Boston. You know, this is, I knew it was a tough place to play. I knew it was challenging with everything that's going to go on there. But I've been through a lot in 3 years since I've been here, but this is why I came.
Now you want him back again. People are easy. One championship, a couple postseason games, and now you want him. For 4 years and $127 million?
I think that's what's left. Yeah, $127, something like that.
He's 33 years old.
He is.
He's 33 years old, and you want him for four? He might opt out, but you want him to stay for four and $127. What?
I mean, the beauty of it is that the decision really gets made for you. I mean, if it, I say the beauty, it might be the curse. I mean, if he were to opt out, there's no shot of him coming back.
Again, Felger and Maz Twitter page, poll, do you want David Price to opt in or opt out? What are the results, Stu, to this hour?
7,640 votes, 54% want David Price to opt in, 46% want him to opt out. Maz, your number is at 5 now, who wants you to opt out, and Sarge is at 2.
So the number's tightening a little bit.
Yeah.
Tightening a little bit. Tough call, but to me it's really not that tough. If David Price were a free agent, would you want to sign a 33-year-old starting pitcher for 4 years and $127 million?
No.
No freaking way.
No. No shot. No. Look, I think the Red Sox privately would do cartwheels if he opted out. Just to get out of the final, you know, $127 million, and they could use the flexibility given what they got going on. So I don't know that.
Okay, but what are the odds? So now we've talked about what we want or we would want to happen. What do you think will happen?
I think he stays.
Okay.
I think he's going to get pressure from the union because the money's not out there.
So, free agency hasn't started, or has it?
No, not till the week after.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like...
Next Monday, I think.
MLB free agency is unlike any other sport. They're so baseball, right? Every other sport, there's a deadline, like today. There's a deadline, there's a buzzer, there's a flurry of activity, and off you go. Like, NBA, NFL free agency, there's guys on private planes on day one. MLB free agency starts, and no one even knows it. Because guys don't sign for another 3 months or something.
It is. That part of it's ridiculous.
So typical of baseball. But be that as it may, I knew it comes quickly. David Price, so again, he has 3 days from the end of the World Series to opt in or out. Okay? 3 days from the end of the last game. So it's till tomorrow night. We'll know by tomorrow night whether he's in or out. Do you think his agent is calling around to teams right now? Is he allowed to call around to teams to see the market? Is he allowed to see if there's money out there?
I don't think he is. Nope. I think you just, I mean, not officially.
But it has to happen.
Of course,
right?
I would think, yeah, that there are people whispering and telling Price what, you know, they want him to go to certain places. I would imagine that is happening. It's not legal, but it has to be happening, right? Let's not delude ourselves. The other thing is, you know, there are a few starting pitchers available on the market. I'm not telling you anybody that's great, but what if Kershaw opts out? Right, so if he ends up on the market, and Charlie Morton's on the market, and Jay Happ's on the market, and Dallas Keuchel, Patrick Corbin, I mean, I don't know. If you're Price, where are you on that list? If Kershaw opts out, he's number one, right?
No. Do you think Kershaw's still number one?
Wouldn't you want Kershaw before you wanted some of those other guys?
Nah.
Mm. Well, I bet you a National League team would take Kershaw in a minute.
I'd take Keuchel first.
So maybe.
I don't know.
But the point is, it's not clear.
Keuchel doesn't throw as hard as he used to either, does
Correct.
He?
Correct. Neither one, yeah.
Kershaw really lost something off his fastball.
Big time.
You know, and the arrow's not like, you know, what's that going to be in 3 years?
But is any of those, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't say is any of them because we all know that teams will spend. But last offseason, you know, it was hard for guys to get deals. A couple people did at the beginning and that was it. And so it feels like the market's getting tougher and tougher. I bet your price stays.
Well,
I mean, if you were his agent, what would you advise him?
If I was agent,
stay.
I'd be spending the next couple days calling around.
Okay, but
and if there were money out there, I'd leave. Because at the end of the day...
Yeah, but that's easy. I'm saying if you had to guess right now and you're his agent, what would you advise him?
So if I really didn't tamper and I had to guess whether the money was out there, I'd stay.
Yeah.
Because my guess is that the money wouldn't be out there. But most of these guys do opt out. You have to... That's the history of it. That's the history of it. Most of them do. So to me, it's a win if he opts out. Like that's when you first signed with that contract. You said 3 years, get the most out of him, win a championship, and then get the hell out of here. So we don't have to pay a $31 million a year at the age of 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. That's what you wanted. And I think you should still be there. I think you should still be there. Even, you know, even despite what he just did, which is tremendous. But we do know who holds the trump card. You know who holds all the cards now.
That's me.
That's our guy. All right, so your thoughts on this. Still have Patriots.
Opt out, Maz.
Leftover thoughts as well. Jeff in Connecticut on the Sox. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I'll make it quick. I got a few things. We got 7 free agents. The only one that looks like it's worth figuring out is Eovaldi and Kelly. Also, the catchers aren't on the open market, but are they moving pieces? Jonathan Lucroy, Wilson Ramos, a few others. Do we keep Devers? Do we look at a Donaldson? What do we do?
Okay, you just put too much on my plate. Why is Devers a consideration?
Yeah, and I wouldn't worry about the catchers either. Again, how much money are you going to spend? You're already at $215 million for crying out loud.
Don't spend a catcher. You don't need it. You're just proven you don't need offensive catcher.
Any player you have at the moment that is reasonably functional and cheap, you're keeping.
Devers is the last guy you're going to give up because he's the last guy he's got the most service time left. He's the cheapest and still has upside.
And Benintendi's another one.
Right. Those two. Those are the last guys you're looking
at. So you're not moving those guys. I mean, you need those guys to balance out your payroll, for crying out loud. There's no way you can do that.
We've got Rocco in Saugus. He's got a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Rocco. Hello, Rocco. That might have been my fault. I may have hit the wrong button. I'll try it one more time. Rocco, are you there?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just want to get a couple of things off my chest about Brady and Belichick. First, on Belichick, I feel like he lost a step and his coaching skills. You know, the special teams have been awful this year. And last night, another thing, mediocre at best. And Brady, I feel like in the pocket, he's not the same quarterback. I mean, like, he lost the eye of the tiger, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know if he needs this Apollo Creed moment running on the beach somewhere, but he needs to get it back.
Okay, Rocco, I'm going to stop you there because those two things. The special teams is just a little tip to me that they're not totally dialed in. Patriots are usually dialed in special teams, and that's a sign. That's when you know a team is well-coached, top to bottom, and they're, again, sorry for the cliche, dialed in. Because every little thing is attention to detail, and it's the bad teams and the poorly coached teams that usually shows up in the kicking game because that's where they just sort of, they don't have enough time or enough organization to get everything all set. So that's why you see a team like Buffalo trying to kick a field goal and some fat offensive linemen. They're all sitting around going, where's Jumbo? And then the big fatty runs on in the last second. They just kicked the field goal. You saw that last night, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you had two things last night.
Where's Jumbo?
You know what I mean? Where's Billy? You got to kick the thing. And then here comes Big Fatso because he didn't know, I'm supposed to be out there. Like, those are the poorly coached teams. You had a penalty on a kickoff because you were lined up wrong. And then Edelman blocks a guy after calling for a fair catch. Those are just simple rules that they didn't know. Or weren't or forgot?
I'm used to seeing. You remember the game in New Orleans last year, right before the half? The
yes.
clock is ticking. They all run, set up, get the 3 points. It's like, wow, that was so crisp, and it was nails. This year, it feels like week to week. It's just always something.
And
on special teams, it's a screw up.
Right? They're not covering in the kicking game.
Well, I think their coverage was bad again last night.
So that's sort of a bad sign. Brady, I think, is taking like a little half step back, and I always feel like qualifying this. I'm not telling you he's done. I'm not telling you he sucks. I'm not predicting the cliff. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just
Well, you mean because people overreact when
yeah,
you say
oh,
it?
He sucks. Now, how do you like him now? He throws a touchdown, but oh, I guess he doesn't suck. But I'm just trying to, like an adult, look at how he's playing and saying, I feel like he's taking a little step back this year. I don't feel like he's exactly the same guy. And Bedard says, well, that's he agrees. The thing I see is that Brady's looking at the rush a little bit, which he almost never does. He's so good at keeping his eyes downfield, feeling the pressure, moving up. Last night, I saw him looking at the rush and sort of ducking out of, you know, that thing where he sort of kind of ducks when it's not there. And
well, he took a beating last night, especially on the right side, because, again, Cannon's out, Waddle stinks, and he was a turnstile. He was getting beaten up. And there was late, I don't know, again, how much you guys watched, but in the fourth quarter, he had a play that was like, what are you even doing there? Right side, Waddle gets beat, and he looks at White, and he throws it in the flat on the right side. It almost gets picked off by one of the linebackers. Yes. If it did, it goes six the other way.
Brady at the Klein Show.
He had about three or four of those last night.
He had about three balls last night that could have been picked. So he's done that a lot this year. And again, so Bedard says, well, it starts with the rush. You know, they can't protect it, so Brady, of course, is sped up. So you blame the line, not Brady. Okay, fine. And he hasn't had all of his weapons, and Gronkowski's hurt, and Edelman wasn't there. So, yeah, he looks a little disjointed, but that's because of the weapons around him. That's not because of him. All right, fine. But at least that's what I'm seeing.
Guys that are in decline aren't supposed to do that, Bob.
I don't see the same Brady in the pocket, and he's a little loose with the ball. So that's all. And he's far from their biggest problem. He's not even a problem. He's the solution. But if, as I said earlier, if they need Brady at the highest level to account and make up for all their other crap, which is the way it's been here the last couple of years, he has been the answer to all their problems because his level of play has been so high.
This team needs a great quarterback.
I don't know if he is. I don't know if he's reaching that same level so far this year. And I don't know if he is.
No, he's not.
So that's all.
And look, and I'm not, again, some of it in the first four games without Edelman and everything else, like, that was a grind. Like, I don't know how much of that you can put on him. I'm just telling you that if we're talking about last night's game, there were a few balls here that could have easily been picked.
We continue with your thoughts. Patriots, Red Sox after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm told that Josh Gordon, new Patriots receiver, is expected to be disciplined during tonight's game against the Bills because of tardiness. I'm told because of his infraction, he is going to be kept off the field for several series, described to me as about a quarter.
Gordon's out there. Starts for the Patriots. Just wonder, Josh Gordon in the huddle, you know, refuting the report that NFL Network had.
Because of tardiness, is there any problem with tardiness?
Going to be a question I have to ask the coach about.
Bill, there's a report before the game that Josh Gordon's had some tardiness issues and that you're going to sit him for a few series or something. Obviously, you played all game those days.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to whoever. Whoever wrote that, I have no idea.
Again, thanks to the Midday Show, Zolak and Bertrand, Jim Louth, the producer, for putting that together. We stole it. Encapsulates the Josh Gordon story. Is it possible to be suspended and then not be suspended?
Clearly.
I guess there is. What's your take on that story, Maz? What do you think happened there?
So to me, look, I think somehow it's related to the trade deadline. I don't eliminate some of the other possibilities that, for example, Greg Bedard raised when he was here earlier in the day. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. And Bedard's theory was, look, they've been so careful with this guy that they've handled him with kid gloves, and then all of a sudden this got out publicly in Belichick reverse field. And he said, I'm not gonna, you know, suspend him or embarrass him at the start of the game. To me, I wonder if the thing's all related to the trade deadline. That, you know, they had a deal lined up for a wide receiver and they thought, we're really gonna put the screws to this guy now because we gotta keep him on the beam. If he doesn't stay on the beam, we're gonna get rid of him. And then the deal fell through and they didn't have a deal. I mean, the deadline went by today. They didn't add a receiver. So I don't know. The timing of it all, to me, it feels like more than a coincidence. That's all. I just look at the whole thing and say, maybe they thought they were getting closer to a deal, and so they had to handle Gordon a certain way, and then the deal fell through, and they said, well, you know what? We better be careful with this guy, because we may need him now. I think there might be a connection there.
Yeah, I think if he was to get punished, then they might lose him.
Exactly.
You know, because as troubled as he's been in his past, I think if he faces any kind of punishment, then he could go sideways. And he looks at it, it's like, oh, man, I screwed up this opportunity. It's my last chance in the league. I was with a real team, with a real coach, with a real quarterback. And now what am I going to do? So I'm going to get myself a bottle of Grand Marnier and a bottle of dope, and I'm going down that pain vortex, and he's off the reservation.
I mean, now that I think of it, as we're talking about it, what if it's the opposite? In other words, what if they wanted trade stuff out there because they want Gordon to think he's in jeopardy and that it'll help him stay on the beam? I don't know. I mean, I'm asking. I'm not like this is their way of saying, no, they're in the market for a receiver because Gordon hasn't been that great and he's starting to slip up and they want to let him know he's getting dangerously close.
I think it's all the first thing that Greg said. I think it's he was late. They were going to punish him. It came out. Bill didn't want it to get out. It usually doesn't come out. Usually that stuff's in-house. I mean, if he had sat out the first couple series and was out there for the first series of the second quarter, would he have really noticed? I mean, maybe. I don't know, but not... I don't know. You just explain away with personnel grouping. Like, they did. They never admitted Malcolm Butler was benched. Patricia said it was personnel grouping. Like, you could do that. You could make it a disciplinary, an in-house disciplinary thing where no one even really knows. That's usually what they do. So I think that's what they wanted to do. And then it got out publicly. And this is why Bill has been ripping Ian Rappaport, because he wants Rapp to suffer, because he's pissed that it came out. And he realized, I don't want to bury Josh Gordon. I don't want, you know, them showing the shots of him on the sidelines with his helmet in his hands as we start this game and really playing up the story, because I do have to handle this kid gently because he's got problems. So I just can't bury the kid totally. And he, between being pissed off that it leaked and not wanting to totally upset the kid, he reversed field. That's what I think happened, which is like another... Like, that ain't right. Like, that's not... But what are we doing? What it's like...
Well, it's the newer, kindler, chill Belichick, remember.
Just sort of not dialed in. Like, not totally all work, business, dialed in Patriots. It's something different. Something outside of that. That ain't just doesn't sit well. I mean, I think the guy was clearly late. Or clearly he had internal issues. When he's asked about, you know, well, Josh, there's reports that you've been tardy. Have you been tardy? He says, well, I don't know. You got to go ask Coach. Well, that's a sure tip-off. Why can't you just say no? I'm a bit on time.
No, no. Something happened for sure.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, something happened. I mean, I don't think the report is flat-out wrong.
So then it comes out when it usually doesn't come out, and then Bill reverses course because it came out. All right. I don't know. It's just doesn't feel like them. The whole thing doesn't feel like them. Even in victory, it doesn't feel like them. All right, so there's your thoughts on the Josh Gordon situation. Back to your phones on everything else. Our buddy Matt's in Framingham on the Sox. Hi, Matt.
Salga, I got to tell you. Between the manner in which the Red Sox made this run and now Cordell Patterson at running back, I feel like I'm in like an upside-down world, or like another dimension. And I'll elaborate if you allow me. Just give me 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Maz, I just want to like commend you and thank you for that astronomical odds pick of Steve Pearce to win the MVP. I made out on that. That was great.
Oh, good job,
and
man.
Also, I agree with you on Price over Sale, although I would take Eovaldi over the three. And the reason for that, Felger, I know you don't feel the way, is because the manner in which he pitches, which is unorthodox, once he started having a problem with that shoulder, we will never see that same Sale again. So between the two, I'd take Price. But what I wanted to talk about is Alex Cora was the obvious winner, but really it was Dombrowski. I mean, everybody who had an impact was one of his players, except for one, of course, Kinsler, you know, who drove me crazy, which is also Cora's only mistake, having that guy like a fish out of water running the bases. He made a mistake at every single base he got to.
No, it was quite a trip, man. I'm just going to cut you there because you're over a minute. Picked off first, overruns third, gets thrown out at home. That was something else. Big winner, Dave Dombrowski. Bill in Vermont, do you agree that Dave Dombrowski was the big winner?
I do. I think that he's got a chance to be a Hall of Famer. He's got the same trajectory as Pat Gillick. And if you look at what Theo Epstein did with the Red Sox and the Cubs, Dombrowski's done that with a couple franchises and gotten to three franchises now to the playoffs and two world titles.
Okay, Maz, Dave Dombrowski, Hall of Famer.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to see what happens from here, but, you know, it's not out of the question. I mean, it's not. Now, I would never compare him to Theo because I feel like Theo won titles with organizations, A, that hadn't won in, you know, a century for crying out loud, and then also did a better job actually building those teams from within. Now, the 04 team he inherited, okay, but the 07 team, a lot of those guys were his. So, you know, to me, Theo and Dombrowski couldn't be farther apart. And, you know, I think Gillick is like one of the great GMs that's ever existed, but the results are all that matter. And so Dombrowski, like, if he can sustain this thing, it's close.
Yeah, and he'll go in with John Henry's checkbook with a canceled check and a pen and a horseshoe that was firmly up his keister for most of this season.
So just because you have money doesn't guarantee anything. So he's been a big money GM wherever he's been pretty much, and he's been mostly successful wherever he's been.
Well, so again, that's why I think the results just you know, we can say like, all right, the Sale deal. He still traded guys that a lot of people thought were, you know, can't miss prospects. And he hasn't been bitten by it yet, and it was a good deal. And see, now I think the moves like the ones he made this year are way more valuable. Evaldi and Pierce, those are huge. I mean, those are huge moves. I liked one, I didn't like the other, but as it turned out, they scouted Evaldi and they got it right. They got it right.
Here's Mike in Orange on the series. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Murray, thanks for the video. And listen, that game Friday night went on longer than a Kardashian divorce. The umpires were screwing both teams on strikes. It should have never went that long. Do you think that Major League Baseball says, hey, what's going on this long? Let's keep it going. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you're asking the wrong guy, because I will literally do anything to end these games. Anything. I am someone who loves the shootout in hockey. In fact, I think they should bring it to the playoffs. I think they should bring 3-on-3 to the playoffs. I think anything beyond one overtime period is just patently stupid in a 7-game series. Stupid. And so after one extra session, I start pulling guys off the ice or going to the shootout. And that's my sport. So I will do anything to end these games, and I mean anything. Home run derby. Put a guy at second. I don't know. Honestly, I'd run a home run derby. I'd immediately, without a 20-minute delay, I would immediately run that little net out there and put a pitching coach out there and put 3 sluggers out there with 3 pitches and let's get out of here. That's what I would do. You're playing 9 innings, 4 hours a night, 7-game series. We got to decide this one. And that's what I would do. So you're asking the wrong guy. No one else would want to do that, but I am being totally serious. I would do it.
Yeah, look, I told you, I'm okay for, you know, a home run derby I don't want. But you want to tell me you want to start every inning with a guy on second base, you know, the last guy who made an out or something? I'm in. I mean, again, it's the same for both teams. So something that brings a swifter resolution, because that thing Friday night was ridiculous.
Guy on second, you can start, you can put up to bat whoever you want to put up to bat. You get to reorder.
Or reset your order, right.
Reset your order every inning. You can put a guy, you can put whoever you want on second. Put, you know, Brantley or whatever, like the fastest guy you got. Put him on second, and then you can go Betts, Martinez, Benintendi every single inning. That's what I would do.
I mean, think of what that guy...
End it. You've got 7 of these. Each last 4 hours. Enough.
Yeah. I look, again, I'm open to anything and everything. I just think baseball's dug in on these sorts of things, and they need to change them.
We've got the final word coming your way right after this.
Felger and Maz.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Well, a certain someone was upset about the lack of movement by the New England Patriots at the trade deadline.
This is good, Murray.
Mm-hmm. Came and went at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
This
so.
Is what happens when you make someone do a Patriots postgame show till 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. A Patriots-Bills postgame show.
Yeah, for that game last night. Take it away, Jay Stu.
The Patriots have stood pat for the first time in 4 years at the trade deadline. Nothing happening. I get the sense, Big Jim Murray, in our update studio, you're frustrated by this.
Yeah, I'm pissed. I was told there was going to maybe some depth at linebacker. Brady has how much time left here? You're going to do nothing? Nothing. That's great. No, that's good. I'm glad you're happy with Cordarrelle Patterson as your de facto running back in the game last night. No, that's good. They don't need any other help. No, they're good. The roster's just fine. They don't need any help at all. But no, I'm too negative for thinking that way. Yep. Oh, no. Shame on me for thinking they maybe need some more help. Especially running back where they're the gimmicky return man. I love that. No, I need more of that in my life. No, give me that on Sunday night when this high-powered offense of the Packers comes in here. I'm sure that'll help. Keep handing it off for Cordarrelle Patterson. Starting at the OTAs.
No, days off. And by the way, guys, you want to go play some cornhole at Fenway? Let's all have ourselves a time, huh?
Follow that with, just recently, Cordarrelle Patterson. Just before he stepped into the end zone, he high-fived J.C. Jackson in the past. You think the Bill Belichick
we all know would have put up with that? Nah, it's all good. You know what, too? Make some shirts.
Put them on the internet. Sell shirts, Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah, oh, you're the best. What a weapon you've been. Do what the hell you want. So maybe knowing Josh Gordon's past could go sideways, and we really do need him in this offense. So you know what? Yeah, you get a pass. Yeah, why not? It's all good. At one point, Landon Roberts gets dinged up, so he goes into the tent. And who's out there? Oh, good, another special teamer in Nicholas Grigsby. That's who
Who that was. Yeah. Who the hell is that guy?
Oh, I know. He's a special teamer. They got a million of those, Mike. So anytime anyone actually goes down that you need, bring in a special team. Brandon King. Yeah, next up. Come on. Oh, yeah, Nicholas Grigsby. You're the next bum to get on the field. That's good. So you need help with linebacker team. Nicholas Grigsby, he's fine. What are you worried about? Hey, the Red Sox did nothing at the trade deadline. Murray, that worked out for them. Pats didn't have to do nothing either. Let's all have ourselves a time. We don't need moves at the trade deadline anymore. Everything's fine. All pie in the sky for the Boston teams. You guys are idiots. You're going to be wrong again. They'll be in the Super Bowl. Yeah, Bill's going to be right. He owned you, the media. Gordon wasn't actually in trouble at all. He's just owning you all. No moves. That's great. I'm glad nothing got done today.
I stand by that, too.
Good job, Murray.
Good job.
Just setting ourselves up for Brandon King or Nicholas Grigsby to be in coverage against some fast running back in the Super Bowl. Just like it was Jordan Richards and Johnson Batamosi on the field against the Eagles. Oh, God. I don't care how bad, but this is the one that's really starting to go up sideways, too. You have a lot of people that are pointing out how bad Malcolm Butler's been for the Tennessee Titans this year. Oh, he's one of the lowest-rated quarterbacks on PFF. Oh, Bill was right again. Was he? He shouldn't have played one snap in that Super Bowl. Okay, yeah, live with that. Because you're wrong. Filger and Maz.